Well, hello again, everybody out there in Turdville. It is Friday, April the 24th, and as we head into the weekend, I have a special treat for everybody. I have an update on the new physical allocated precious metal exchange that we first brought to your attention. Oh, I guess it was maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago. On the line here with us, I have Tom Coughlin. Tom, you'll recall, is the CEO of Bullion Capital. He's also the CEO of what is now named the Allocated Bullion Exchange, ABX. And it is this exchange that we should all be pretty excited about. This is a global, fully allocated, physical metal exchange. And what they attempt to do is kind of incorporate all of the global pricing structure from 11 different spots around the world to give instant anonymous access to all retail and institutional participants so that they can get in, access price anywhere, eliminate arbitrage, and get their hands on some allocated metal and completely get out and get around this LBMA system that has dominated things now for decades. All right, Tom, how'd I do? Did I describe that pretty well?
It's an excellent sum up, Craig. And thanks for having me on again.
No problem at all. You're looking for any jobs in the PR department? Or did I qualify? Does that sound pretty good?
You did. You did.
Awesome.
Maybe in the sales team as well.
Fair enough. Hey, I want to dive right in, though, because when we spoke last, we talked about a late April launch of this exchange. Something you had been working on for almost 2 years, if I remember right. All of the software being built, all the beta testing being done, all the partnerships being done, getting all the brokers set up, the liquidity providers and liquidity takers, as you call them. But we're now late April, and it looks like we've got to push back just a little bit. And what I wanted to do in speaking with you is just assure everybody that this is not a permanent pushback. This is not a shelving. This isn't the Pan-Asia Gold Exchange. You haven't been gotten to by the powers that be and shoved into a back of a van and driven across town and tortured or anything like that. This is just some improvements that are still taking place, and you want to do it right the first time, right? So we've been pushed back a little ways, but I want you to kind of explain why and give us an update.
Okay, yeah. No worries at all. Well, firstly, we're operationally good to go now, but it's become apparent that strategically it is best to delay the launch just by a fraction, and we'll shortly be issuing a press release detailing the concrete launch day, and we'll be counting down to that concrete launch day as well, and there'll be a lot of press activities, PR activities, and you know we are really going to look to build the hype leading up to that launch. Just we really want to broadcast our message and vision and get everyone around the world hearing about what we're doing. So, I mean, we pushed it back, I guess, for a few different main reasons. One of them, they're all positive, by the way, but one of them is we've had such a significant influx of broker applications, and we want to get these guys live before launch. We want them offering the platform before launch. So that we just got a little bit of a bottleneck that we got to work through there. We also want to spend a little bit more time engaging the precious metals industry. So physical dealers around the world, retail facing or wholesale facing, we want to really engage the precious metals industry. If we're going to make this happen, we need to bring everyone online here. And the third major reason is actually, basically from a PR perspective, it's more strategic. And we can build more buzz by just pushing things out a little bit more and building up a little bit more excitement into this launch instead of just launching and sort of hitting, the climax at that point. We want to build into it a little bit more. So certainly nothing negative there. Everything's positive. Looking forward to taking things forward and progressing towards launch.
Well, and clearly, yeah, like you said, those are all good things. Having an influx of people that want to use the exchange as brokers or as metal providers, whatever, that's a good thing to have, right?
Definitely. No, interest has certainly been strong. Even from, it's from small guys all the way up to the big guys. Some of the largest precious metal producers in the world we're even talking to at the moment. So part of what we're doing, actually, I'll get into this later, but, you know, part of what we're doing is disintermediating the whole process and making it more efficient. But, yeah, at some point, you know, during this discussion, I want to delve into, I guess, what I see as the sort of two major pillars supporting this whole exchange initiative, Craig. So with your permission.
Yeah, let's roll with it. What would you say they are, Tom?
Well, I mean, the two major pillars that I see sort of supporting this initiative are the fact that we're modernizing and globalizing the physical precious metals market.
Right.
So I guess just sort of running through that, on the modernization front, what we're really doing is bringing the physical market into the electronic environment. Now, what this means, it allows us to bring efficient price discovery, trading, and it opens up accessibility to a greater audience to attract a greater capital inflows into precious metals. If we want this physical market to play a role in the price discovery of precious metals around the world, it really does need to be brought into the electronic environment. We've seen this with other asset classes, and we need to do this for the physical market. The unallocated market trades in the electronic environment, and it's the tail wagging the physical dog, as Andrew McGuire loves to put it.
Yep.
At the moment. So to do this right, we need to bring physical into an institutional electronic market and really modernize it from that point of view. Once we do that, and once we bring in market participants from around the world, then we really have a strong fighting chance of taking over as the dominant force in price discovery, because at the end of the day, we're actually pricing the real stuff, the real underlying market. Also, what it does on the modernization front, we're streamlining the operations of physical businesses as well.
Right.
So where it's a very manual process, like over the phone or OTC or through like a shopping cart type of arrangement online, we can bring a lot of efficiencies to that and basically decrease the cost of doing business for precious metal brokers and dealers around the world. We also allow them to increase the business that they can do because of those efficiencies created. Basically what we're doing has been done in other asset classes before. If you look around, pretty much all investment asset classes at least are in the electronic environment. And we really need to bring the physical precious metals market into the electronic environment as well. So, and this isn't a bad thing. This is a good thing. It's going to be a great thing for the industry if we all support this. Let's delve into, I guess, the globalization pillar. What we're doing there is we're connecting all of these different trading centers around the world, and we're offering these different locations with a much more relevant and efficient market and pricing for that market as well.
Right.
When I talk about relevancy, one big issue I have when I go talk to precious metals traders in Hong Kong or Istanbul or Dubai or wherever it may be around the world where there's these vibrant physical markets, is the London price has little to no relevancy for them, because they're exchanging a title of physical metal in their home jurisdiction. So what relevancy does London have to them? So we're creating a marketplace with relevant pricing and price discovery for them, and also also the requisite efficiency on the delivery side. So the physical markets in many of these locations operate even on a T0 basis, where cash consideration passes and the physical delivery happens on the same day. Our marketplace caters for that. So it caters for the demand of all of these different specific local markets, but then ties them together into a globalized market. So And it basically, we're creating a global marketplace that any market participant in the world can plug into and access all these different trading centres. It's actually quite significant. When you get on the ground, let's say in Istanbul, and you say to an Istanbul trader, hey, look, you can trade and offer, you can sell bullion into Hong Kong. Their eyes open up because at the moment they don't know how to, or they don't have the relationships in place to do so. Yep. They might not have a strong understanding of the regulatory environment, and there's many barriers to entry into each location. Each location's got a little bit of a, you know, old boys club, and it's difficult to break in. So what we've done on the globalization front, we've knocked down all of those different barriers of entry, and we provide basically full accessibility into these markets from any market participant around the world. So we're fostering liquidity and extreme amounts of liquidity and volume by interconnecting all of these different trading centers. We're making the price differentials immediately identifiable, and market participants can immediately act upon those pricing differentials as well, which it's clear to me. Initially, when I embarked on this project, I theorized it was like more of a theoretical concept, but it's clear to me now that as we bring on more and more physical market participants, and as we increase our market share in each region, then there's going to become a tipping point whereby we actually flatten the physical price of gold around the world.
Right.
Now, by flattening the physical price of gold all around the world, then you're actually providing a global price of gold. So, you know, at the moment when we look at our Bloomberg terminals or we look at CNBC and we see the price of gold, it's typically loco London unallocated gold, which, as I said, has little to no relevancy for most physical precious metal participants around the world. We'll be offering, when we get this right, we'll be offering a very, very relevant price, and it'll be the underlying physical price. So I think it's a complete game changer, and you know, basically we're implementing reform within the market, and we will be redefining the way that physical precious metals trade around the world.
Yeah.
It's one thing for me to say all this. I really don't want to come across in sort of an arrogant way. What we're doing is we really want to work with physical precious metal participants and bring them online, really work through step by step with them to show them the benefits of collectively participating in this. You know, I think we all know the problems with the current market architecture. If we want to see change and we want to implement change, then we need to work together to do this. And we come in as an independent party,
right,
as well. So we really want to offer this marketplace, and to, you know, bring benefits and to improve the industry as a whole. And I think that we're going to be trying very, very hard over between now and launch and post-launch to engage with the industry around the world as much as possible.
Tom, we here in America, we have a phrase we like to use about called cutting out the middleman. Maybe that's a global phrase. I don't know. And it sounds, in a sense, that's what, on one sense, you're hoping to do. You want to match what you say, liquidity providers with liquidity takers. Liquidity providers being mining companies, you know, all the way down at that end. Mints, whoever has supply versus whoever is looking to buy, and cut out the intermediaries, the bullion banks. I mean, is that, I guess, a good way to describe it to some extent?
Yeah, definitely. And actually, you know, we knew it would be a process to start appealing to get to that level where we would appeal to the mines as far as volume and and liquidity goes in the marketplace, and we seem to be getting there sooner rather than later. We have you know, we're in discussions with a number of very large miners and producers. And actually they've come to us because I guess, you know, they have their own internal frustrations with the current structure of the market who they're perhaps beholden to, and basically all the terms of trade being dictated by a few. And it's time for change, and it's time to implement change, and for the better of everyone, I think.
Well, and the problem with that, I, the hurdle that I see you having to cross is that, you know, the middleman doesn't take this lightly. You know, there's obviously a lot of money to be made in controlling any market, but particularly in gold. And the 7 or 8 or 9 global bullion banks that not only set the fixes each day in London, they control all of the unallocated metal that moves around there, and then they act as de facto market makers on the COMEX, naked shorting metal that they don't have, or at least metal that they get leased to them by the central banks or by these miners. It's good work if you can get it, because there's a lot of money there, and so I don't suspect they're going to go quietly into the dark night. I mean, if you become a threat to them, you know, once we get up and running and as this gains popularity this year, how do you expect to be contacted by them? Do you expect, as you go to these miners, to offer them an alternative around the bullion banks? Is there one? I mean, there's not a lot of hedging being done anymore, but for these miners that are used to that status quo and these bullion banks defending their status quo, I mean, do you offer, what kind of alternative do you have to the big suppliers?
Well, as we put this into motion, I mean, at some point, who knows? At some point, they might just accept that this is, I guess, the new normal, and they might not have a choice with regards to it. The traction that we're getting at the moment, and you know, who we're going out to, not just even on the market participant side, but the interfaces we're building into financial services platform providers and all this sort of thing. We're gaining a lot of traction, and our tentacles are sort of getting out there to be able to disseminate this thing and distribute it throughout the world. And I don't know whether they can stop that now. So they might just have to accept the new normal, and if they want to participate in the new normal, perhaps I don't know. I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see what kind of pushback you get from the middleman, from the bullion banks, as you take power from them, as you take trading volume from them, as you take physical metal, which is the underlying backbone, you know, that they have to be able to continue the paper con game. I don't know. Have you gotten any pushback from them yet, or do you feel like you're operating under the radar to some extent, or have you not seen anything at all?
I'm sure that not even really looking at us at this point in time, that they've got their own sort of operations, and I'm sure they're not even looking at us. Who knows?
Yeah.
But you know, I guess what we're trying to do, you know, I'd like to put together a little bit of a sort of a call of action here.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we really need to bring together physical market participants from around the world. We've already got you know, a really impressive long list of market participants in our exchange at the moment. But ultimately, to reform this and properly reform this marketplace, we need to bring together everyone. And what we do is we cater for the physical market. We don't cater for bankers or the banking industry. We cater for the physical market. And that's where we provide really a really, really strong value proposition to everyone, from the producer to the trader to the refiner to the retail-facing dealer, the wholesale-facing dealer. We provide really, really strong value propositions to everyone. So let's get together We all want to see reform. So let's get together and make this happen. You know, the banks can get together and make exchanges happen. If you look at the ownership of most exchanges out there or how they're all sort of set up, they're set up by the banks. Well, you know, someone, maybe an entrepreneur like myself, sort of went out and got together a number of banks. Okay, let's trade an energy contract or something like that. And maybe, you know, 5 to 8 banks came together and formed the exchange to do so. What I guess I'm asking for is let's bring together the physical market and the physical market participants to bring together this exchange to do this as well. So that's a bit of a call of action, and as I said, we'll actually be engaging the industry. We'll be doing a roadshow. We'll mm-hmm. be holding roundtable discussions and inviting market participants from around the world into different regions. We'll be getting into Hong Kong, into London even, into Zurich, into New York, into Dubai, into Istanbul, and we'll be engaging with the industry and really sort of stepping them through our platform and how they can get benefit out of the platform, whether it be selling metal into the platform or buying metal out of the platform, and what it means for everyone. So, I'm really looking forward to actually taking this forward and what it actually will mean for the precious metals industry. There's no doubt at all that this is happening. It's like, how fast do we want to see it happen?
Right.
And the quicker the industry can move on this, then the quicker we'll get the ball rolling from a price discovery perspective and really change the price discovery mechanism from being the paper price and the paper market is a market in infinite supply, effectively.
Yes.
That operates through the fractional banking system. It's an infinite supply. Market makers can just create an XAU gold contract
yep.
and sell it into the market. It doesn't have physical gold connected to it, whereas in our marketplace, every single contract is 100% physically backed by gold. It is a piece of gold. So, or a piece of silver, for that matter.
Right.
So, support for our marketplace and presenting our marketplace as a better alternative, and with a migration away from the existing architecture into our architecture, then you're going to see a complete change in the dynamics of price discovery. We're shifting it from a marketplace in unlimited supply to a marketplace in limited supply. And with that, I can get back to my theorizing days. And with that, I think that we'll see massive upward pressure on the gold price as well.
Absolutely.
If we can see this.
Well,
so I think we all need to sort of get together and bang our heads together and support this thing, I think.
Well, you know, you have the full support of TF Metals Report for what that's worth, but we're at least, we've been at the forefront of this now for 4 or 5 years of recognizing that, as Andrew or as Ned Naylor Leyland likes to say, this idea that the paper futures market tail wags the spot dog is folly, and it has real world impacts all the way down, you know, to the mines that are closing, the mining companies that are not only laying off employees but are laying off actual miners, you know, where most of this is done in the third world. I mean, it is the fact that these bankers line their pockets through this process of bullion banking trickles all the way down and impacts a great many people, not just us that hold metal. And so we're going to do everything we have done. We're continuing to do everything we can to end this system. And what you're doing deserves all of our support. So as we wrap this up, Tom, what should we be looking for next from ABX, the Allocated Bullion Exchange? And then what can all of us do as we move into the summertime and prepare for this and help to create a successful launch?
Okay, so over the next couple of weeks, you can expect to see a press release issued by us detailing the exact date of launch. We will then basically begin a sequence of launching. So we'll start to move towards the launch. We'll be onboarding as many brokers as we can, and dealers as we can, leading into the launch. And as I said, engaging the industry as much as we can through conference calls that we'll schedule, through roundtable events that we'll schedule, and basically, just head towards launch and get as many users into the system as well. Ultimately, you know, ideally, we can get millions of users into the system.
Yeah.
And then when that happens, then we will become the price discovery mechanism for gold in
exactly.
the world.
And if someone...
And break the stranglehold. I was just going to say, and break the stranglehold of the existing market architecture.
And if somebody is listening to us and wants to participate, wants to be part of this modernization and globalization of the physical metal market, if they want to be, if they're a dealer, if they are a wholesaler, if they're a mining company executive, what do they do, Tom? Do they go to the ABX site and try to contact you guys? How do they sign up? How do they get involved?
Well, we just have a coming soon page on the ABX site at the moment, and if you want to, I guess, put down your email address and stay in tune with, I guess, the news flow, please visit abxglobal.com.
Yep.
And put down your name, and we'll keep you up to date. But as we sort of discussed last time, we've got the exchange platform live, but under what I call the test environment, which is Bullion Capital, which I sort of mentioned that we built it out that way strategically and stealthily, so we could build out the robustness, test everything, refine the mechanics and the systems in collaboration with the precious metals market. So we knew that we were giving the precious metals market exactly what they wanted rather than what we thought that they wanted. And so if you want to support us now, get in contact with Bullion Capital or ABX. But we've got some more information on the Bullion Capital website.
Okay.
And look, if you want to become a broker, please get in contact, and we can basically send you all the information to become a broker. And if you want to become a participant, what we offer actually on the Bullion Capital website is the ability for you to choose one of our brokers. We've got them sort of spread across the world at the moment. You can choose a broker and sign up as a retail participant and start using that broker and start basically accessing the wholesale market directly through one of those brokers. It's actually quite a seamless process. It's just on the Bullion Capital side, set up a live account, choose a broker, and go from there. Put in an application, and we'll get you on board. Start using the platform.
Well, we've got both of those links right here on this podcast page, and I encourage everybody, if you have the ability or the desire to participate in what is going to be a big reform alternative to this to the way business has always been done, I encourage you to check it out. Tom, we'll do anything we can to help you out as we head into the summer months to publicize these things. I really, really appreciate all that you do. You're doing God's work, my friend. Anything we can do to fight these soulless, godless bankers, we got to do it. And you're out there on the front line, so you have all of our support here. You let us know anything we can do to help out. And I just look forward to, I'll get the press release, and we'll find out what the hard date is, and we'll start to ramp things up as we get closer.
Indeed. Indeed, we will. Thank you very much for your time again, Craig, and thanks to your listeners for listening to me and supporting us along the way as well.
You got it, my friend. Just keep fighting the fight, and we'll get there, and we will win in the end. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Thank you very much, Craig. You too.